Today's reading scripture is Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, GCN and Lamin TV viewing audiences, let us give all thanks and glory to God the Father, who has blessed us to have this devotional service. I also give thanks to all the devotees who have prepared for this service with all your hearts, minds, and souls. Dear devotees, how proud are you of the duty that you have as a Sunday school teacher? The title of a Sunday school teacher is not a little title. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 mentions the teachers as the third among all the bodies of the church after the apostle and prophet. Those children who are growing up are easily influenced by their environment and people around them. Their lives can change greatly according to how each Sunday school teacher serves them. It can even make the difference in the situation, in the salvation of the souls, the difference between heaven and hell. As the end of days draws near, the world becomes darker than ever, and even the youngest of students are exposed to many sins. Some of them are stained by the world even before they develop their own personalities, so they can't control themselves as they are falling into darkness. In order to protect the students of this generation, you must have a stronger sense of duty as Sunday school teachers. You cannot lead the children by forcing them just because you have passion. The Bible says, God's kingdom is not in words, but in power. This power is spiritual power. None of the duties in the kingdom of God can be accomplished with physical power. We have to drive away darkness with lights, and we have to drive away the enemy devil and Satan with spiritual authority. This is spiritual warfare. Today, people do not understand this spiritual realm. They don't have the spiritual authority to rule over enemy devil and Satan. They don't understand the fact. So even though they learn, keep on learning, they learn so many things through conferences, and they keep on learning, but just as in knowledge, there are so many pastors who just accumulate more and more knowledge, but it doesn't work that way. There's no revival in the church. You have to know the spiritual realm, and you have to rule over the enemy, devil, and Satan with spiritual authority, but they don't do that. When I was attending the theological college, if there was any conference for the pastors, they would attend this kind of a conference so much. But if you listen, I've never been to such conferences, but I heard from the students who attended those conferences that the pastors have to be recognized and loved by the church members, and in order to do that, they must have next to the office or next to the house, there must be a study, and it has to be filled with books, with so many kinds of books, and it has to be opened for the church members to see. That's what they tell the pastors. Then the church members will think, oh, our pastor studies so much. He has so much knowledge. And they will, that's how they say the pastors are supposed to earn the respect of the church members. So I heard those things in theological college and I was so heartbroken. You know, this is not right. So I asked them again, that speaker, of course it was within our denomination, so that pastor, how many members does he have in his church? I asked them. Then I asked the classmates and they say he has about 100 members in his church. And if there is any conference, like they go to all these conferences, the dead pastors, they try to keep on learning this kind of knowledge. But with knowledge, you cannot do the ministry because they don't understand the spiritual realm. You have to rule over the enemy, devil, and Satan, and they don't understand this. It's the same in our church too. Double fold, triple fold in my heart, the students, kindergarten, and the elementary school. I think I'm sure we can do that in such a short time. I've had experience with the children and students, and it's not hard. But the problem is the pastors in the students, the pastors, they must not have any wall of sin against God, first of all, so that they can have the spiritual authority. And so when they visit or pay a visit or they counsel these students, they have to bind the power of the devil, so they won't disturb these newcomers, new believers, from going to church. You have to press down the power of the devil. It's better that you drive it away. But to drive away completely, the family has to be evangelized. But if there is unbelieving husband, it's not so easy to drive away a darkness, because there is a person in the family who is living in darkness. But the best thing is to drive away enemy devil completely. Anyway, but the problem is, same with the pastors and teachers, if they have any wall of sin against God, even if they pay a visit, there is no work of God in, you know, taking place. There's no way for God to work. Even if you deliver a good message, it is just words on the outside. It's just a message. There's no work of the Holy Spirit. Your word has to be a truthful word with which the Holy Spirit can work to change the family members. What they preach is the word of God, but it is not backed up. It is not accompanied by their deeds. So according to justice, there is no work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit cannot work. Neither can God. The same with the Sunday school teachers. Even if they pay a visit to so many members, if they have a wall of sin between God and themselves, there is no work of God. It's the same for children, so students, the pastors, the principal or vice principal. If they have any wall of sin, there's no spiritual work. So when the pastors, when they go into spirit and when they don't have any wall of sin and they have purity before God, then there's no problem. I will just command you. I'll just give you directions directly. Then if you obey, the things will take place. The works of God will take place. But only if you don't have any wall of sin. But because of this, you know, there is no work. It's the same with the financial matters. The financial community, they have to go into spirit and they can just follow my instructions. They can just obey it. But now they can't. With flesh, they have their own thinking, their own ideas, so they can't obey. But if they go into spirit, they'll just obey anything with amen. Whatever I instruct them to do. Not by feeling forced or coerced, but with pleasure and willingly they will obey. This is true obedience. And if they can accomplish this kind of obedience, then there will be no problem. It's good to give you an example, but I don't know whether I should give it to you. In accomplishing the kingdom of God, this is a spiritual warfare. And for elementary school kids and teenagers, college students, same with adults, we cannot win this spiritual warfare with physical knowledge or fleshly love. You teachers must have the spiritual power to protect the souls and the power to change them. So without having this kind of a power, how can you have revival? You just, it's just that the children, the family, the children of the church members, most of them are just the children of the church members. This, you can just keep them without expending so much effort. We have children of the district leaders, group leaders, or other leaders and church members. So it's not easy. Even if you say, oh, if you want to play around like that, you just go to another church. Then even if you say that, you tell them that, they wouldn't leave because their parents are here. If you have spiritual power, of course you will keep all the children of the church members, but you will also be able to evangelize so many other students. But that, this is not happening. That is why the title of this devotional service is Power. You should never be at ease thinking, I am not even a pastor. I am just a teacher in charge of a bunch of Sunday school kids. I can do nothing more than just try my best within my limits of strength. You should long for the power to lead the souls in your charge to the light, having love and passion that is equivalent to those of pastors. You cannot do it with your own strength. So you have to receive the power of God that makes all things possible for him who believes. Through this message, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will become true teachers who will receive the power to keep and revive the souls. Dear devotees, in order to become a powerful teacher, first of all, you have to arm yourself with a word. If I gather all the Sunday school teachers and ask them to deliver a message about some topics, then you should be able to deliver the messages. I give you the title and the reading passage, and of course I'm not going to ask you something that is not familiar with, something that is not familiar to you. And if I give you some time, like 15 minutes, you can just you have to be able to deliver the message instantly. Arming yourself with the word is one of the most basic requisites to become a worker for God's kingdom. It's the same with everybody, all Levites, all elders, all leaders and workers, district leaders, group leaders, and sub-district leaders, and small group leaders, mission group leaders, they must be armed with the word. You Sunday school teachers do not teach worldly knowledge, but the word of God. Unless you are armed with the word physically and spiritually, you will have difficulties when you give counseling or advice. If you are not armed with the word, you will just talk about the worldly things. which even the worldly people can give. Well, even seniors in the world, unbelievers can say those things, which means you can speak only fleshly things. While you have to give spiritual advice, you might want to say something, but you can't really express it with words, or you can't really offer a suitable example. For those students who do not study hard, you cannot just make them study hard just by telling them, study hard, why are you not studying hard? If you have learned the messages or the keys to studying well properly, you should have gained great power to deal with your students. I think I gave you about 10 sessions. Yeah, 11 sessions. And the Sunday school teachers, they have to learn them one by one, and so that they will be able to deliver the message even for 20 sessions or 30 sessions. I was running out of time, so I couldn't get into so much detail. But you should be able to explain the details of those principles. Even when you see so-called troublemakers, you can analyze them with a word and understand what they need spiritually and physically. You first have to know the fundamental problem as to whether they innately have low intelligence or they were raised in unfavorable circumstances or they lack power to concentrate. At the same time, you have to arm yourself with that word and learn it by heart. Then you can give the children more specific and direct ways to help them. Also, for those students who have destructive attitudes in the worship services, you should not just scold them and tell them to focus on the worship service. I say it that they should focus on the worship service because I'm speaking to the general congregation, but individually I wouldn't do that. There were some, I was watching some college students praying, and there was a young man in his 20s. I think he was touching this, I don't know whether it's cell phone or something. Other people were praying hard, and he was just playing with it, touching it, and he didn't even try to pray. And suppose if I check on him who he is and call him and scold him, then he will stop coming to the church. But I always try to tell them from the altar in the sermons that they should have at least a little bit of love for God so they can receive salvation. So I was wondering whether he was coming to church only by the coercion of his parents, but I was feeling very sorry about him, that all other people were praying hard, but just one man, he was just touching this, concentrating on this cell phone or something. If you have the knowledge of the lectures on Leviticus, you can explain to them about the spiritual meanings each procession of the service carries and what kinds of blessings they can get by worshiping in spirit and in truth. And also, you have to explain what it is to worship in spirit and in truth. Of course, you should not just teach what is knowledge, but you should also worship in spirit and truth and enjoy the true joy of worshiping as well. So those who teach without acting, without practicing, is a hypocrite. And the Lord says, all to you, they teach without practicing it, without keeping the law. And the Lord said, all to you, because it is a teaching that is that has nothing to do with God. Then the joy and value of the worship service that you have will carry over to the children, and they will also acquire the desire to worship in truth. If you cultivate your heart with the truth, you can spread God's grace to others, even though you may not be able to give a systematic sermon or you lack ability as a good speaker. The Holy Spirit will teach you what to say from moment to moment. In the mini crusades and also in the special healing meeting, sometimes I don't remember in the middle of the service, in the middle of the message. Sometimes I stop. You know why I do that? There is a highway. As the soul prospers, this is the highway. And I receive this inspiration. And I have to go a little bit sideways to explain this. If I just go straight to the point, it's easy, but to explain this inspiration that I'm receiving, and if I get into that a little more, and sometimes I forget where I was. So main point. And if I have enough time, I wouldn't do that, but I wouldn't forget, but because of the time limit, I have to keep the track of the time. So because thinking of that, I cannot. So I was going into this detail, but then I have to come out of it in the middle of the detail. So if I can explain everything, then I can just do that. But because of the time limit, I can't. So I have to come back out in the middle of explaining all the details. So that's why I sometimes forget this connection. But as you have the duty of teaching, you should not just say, I can just cultivate my heart into spirit. You should also have well-organized base of knowledge of the Word. This way, you can receive the works of the Holy Spirit more easily. Of course, more important point is to cultivate your heart with the Word. Only light. Of course, you have to cultivate it with the spirit, but you also have to have the systematic knowledge. Then if you have that, you can just deliver a very clear message. Only light can drive away darkness. The brightness of the light will decide how much darkness it'll drive away. Even though you speak eloquent words in counseling, it cannot change the souls. Even though you visit them 10 times, it doesn't mean you can solve their problems. Doesn't mean you can bring blessings on that family. You can let the souls in your charge understand the truth and change their heart to the extent that you have changed your heart with the truth. So one spiritual visit is much more powerful and better than 10 fleshly visits. Just visiting them, counseling them many times doesn't count. The spiritual counseling, spiritual visitation, that is what counts. So not anybody can do it, but to the extent that you are changed into spirit, you can speak spiritual word. Without being changed into spirit, even though you've learned the word very systematically, it doesn't really work. As I said, what I said just now is that you have to cultivate it with spirit first. And without cultivating your heart as spirit, learning systematical knowledge counts for nothing. You have to understand this fact. But most churches and most pastors, they don't understand this fact. They don't know anything about spirit. They don't know about this enemy, devil, and Satan. And when I go out to church associations, when I give pastors conferences, I will speak about these things. And the pastors, they will be so surprised. And after one conference, so many more pastors will come to learn about spiritual realm. So the pastors and teachers, Sunday school teachers, and you church members, you always hear about the spiritual realm and you learn about the spiritual realm. And if you have been diligently learning all these words, you teachers must have been powerful teachers by now. And if you visit any family or student, you can change. It's a one-to-one counseling. You will have to change that student. You will change that student today, and after changing that person, change the next student, he or she can receive Satan's work a couple of days later, so you can visit him again after a couple of days. And if you visit him like three or four times, then he will stand on the firm rock, on the rock. And all students, they will be good believers, good Christians, good children of God, and they will also study hard. But I'm not saying you should be discouraged and think like, I didn't learn the word very well, so I guess I should just quit. I'm saying that it is such a precious duty given to you by the Lord, and thus you have to change yourself with the word, with all your strength to fulfill this duty, and it's not too late. It's not that you will quit being a Sunday school teacher after 1 year. You will have to do it until, some of you will have to do it until the Lord comes back. Or you can be recognized in children's Sunday school, and go up to students' Sunday school. And also, if you are recognized even more, you can also become pastors. The church can ask you to become a pastor. And Sunday school teacher and pastors are so different. Suppose, you know, being a Sunday school teacher and having a secular job is so different from becoming a pastor of Manmin Church. To be a pastor in a Manmin Church is such a great thing, actually, because it is a church that is recognized by God and the name was given by God Himself. And in this church, if you minister as a pastor, it is such a great thing. You can't change it with any position of CEO or something in this world. The CEO, they have fame, they may have authority in this world, but they won't have anything in heavenly kingdom. It counts for nothing in heaven. But on this earth, you can also be recognized as a servant of God, as a pastor, and you'll be in such a glorious position in heavenly kingdom too. So those men of God in the Old Testament and the disciples, those who followed the Lord in the New Testament, they are all in the higher ranks of heavenly kingdom, and there are many who will be in very high ranks in heavenly kingdom. There will be many from our church. You might be one of them. There might be one of the Sunday school teachers. You know, you can change later and you can be recognized. And you might be one of them. You don't know about tomorrow according to what kind of determination you have and according to how you practice the word. Your life will change. And you could have been going to the east, but you can just change the direction to the west or vice versa. You are going to the west while the will of God is to the east, and you can just turn around 180 degrees and you can just turn back and go the opposite way. So when you turn around, you have to turn to the right angle. If you turn like 90 degrees, then it's not right. You have to go the opposite. If you turn like what 360 degrees, is the same place. So you can just turn around completely, receive the grace through this message, and just turn around completely, 180 degrees. You can be recognized by the church and the shepherd, and you can also become a pastor. Then you'll be loved by the senior pastor, and you'll be loved by the church members. And I will pay for your tuition for the theological college, and also obviously we'll obey God and obey God's word, and so you'll become a spiritual warrior and graduate from the theological college. You can do anything. And after graduation, the church will, you'll be used by in the church greatly, and after a couple of years, you can be a parish pastor. And also, even if you, also if you open a church, if you open a new church, you can, if you just obey, then if you just obey my instructions, then all newly opened churches will revive. They'll have greater revivals. And if the all branch churches, if they just obey my instructions, they will have great revivals. And if they obey my instructions, I will take the responsibility for them. The problem is obedience. Then they have to obey. But the problem is those who are called, those whom I call myself, they will obey my instructions. So if they just do that, suppose I tell them to open a church within a couple of years, they will have such a great revival. And I will help them do that. But the problem is, they will, the problem is they will, they should graduate as spiritual warriors in 4 years in the college. It's enough time. You can go into spirit within this, these 4 years. But the, I worry that some of them will join, transfer in, as a sophomore, so they can attend only for 2 years. But if you're in the first year of the college, and they can join the theological college after that. So if you finished one semester, you can join as the second semester. And if you finished 1 year, two semesters, then those two semesters can be credited. The parents might say, oh, you can, you should graduate. But if it helps being a pastor, it is okay to study. But if they can study the word and pray, that is much better. But you might as well just not go to any college. But I always, but it's not right. You have to have, you have to attend college at least a semester or something. I always ask the performers and singers to go to college at least 2 years, because we have a 2 year college. So you should graduate at least from a 2 year college. And also for those who, for those performers, I tell them to, if they are studying, majoring in such a thing, so that kind of dancing or those things, if they are learning that are related with God's work, I tell them to finish all 4 years and also even do the master's or graduate school. But if you're, what you are studying is not related with God, they, and if you want to be a pastor, then you can just join the theological college. So studying in college and not studying in college at all are so different. So I ask them to go to college at least for a couple of years. And so, because it's so different. The reason why you haven't gone into spirit yet, although you have listened to so many messages, is not because it is difficult to go into spirit. It is because you did not long for it and you did not try through each and every moment. You received grace through the message, but you have not kept that grace to make it last. You are praying to cast off the sinful natures you realized, but soon you forgot about it. That is why you could not change to a significant extent even after a long time. Now I hope you will make up your mind once again, check your heart, and keep the word every day. Those who are coming into spirit, especially performing our team, they could have come into spirit quickly because they are close to me. Even though they have good heart, they can't. Because nobody is teaching them the way to do that, way to go into spirit. So, of course, they don't commit any sins, so they just live like that. Suppose on the holidays, we go out to evangelize, so they may just watch some movie. They may just go with their friends. They just spend the day like that. Then when can they go into spirit? They still love the world and they still have lingering attachment to the worldly things. When can they go into spirit? Because they met with me, they are cutting off all those things. And so if they cut off one thing, they can cut off even 10 things. All the untruthful and worldly things. And so that is why very quickly their heart is changing into spirit and truth. Because they are gentle in heart. Actually, they have good soil. So when I tell them one thing, they understand 10 things and they change their heart very quickly so they can go into spirit very quickly. So it's not difficult. I always tell you that you can just obey. Is that you? Because you disobey. And if you obey and if you go into spirit, you can see all the ways in your business. You don't have any problem. If you can't see the way, you can just pray and you'll be able to see the way. And if you did anything wrong, if you're going the wrong way, God will steer you so that you will not fall into a wrong way. Because you are in spirit. Because if you go into spirit, you are a true son and daughter of God. So God will steer you, guide you to the right way. Because you are true sons and daughters of God, God will not let anything bad happen to you. Even the physical parents will try to guide and teach the student, teach their children to go the right way, to the successful way, and good children will obey their parents. So because you obey, likewise you obey God, God will guide you to the right way. And where in the Bible does it say something like this? Pastors? Where does in the Bible say something like this? And the pastors remember it. In Proverbs chapter 16, it is you who plan, but it is God who is guiding your way. Because you are in spirit, God guides your way. So there's nothing wrong can happen. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if your soul prospers, you receive blessings, whether you come in or go out and in any place. Anytime. When you pray, you should not just try to fill up the time of prayer, but you have to cry out with earnest longing to change. If you fervently pray like, Heavenly Father, I need to change through the word, even just for the souls entrusted to me. I have to cultivate my heart with the truth. Have mercy on me and give me the power. Then why wouldn't God hear your prayer? If you pray to receive wisdom and understanding to God, why wouldn't God give you? If you pray like, oh God, I have to lead the students to the right way, give me wisdom and understanding. If you make an offer, a vow to prayer for 100 days, will God give you or not? Why isn't there any answer? He doesn't. He wants to give. Of course, if you pray, he wants to give. But to actually receive wisdom and understanding, you have to think about the Word of God. How you can receive the wisdom and understanding of God. If you have there's a word, the Bible explains how you can receive wisdom and understanding, so you have to practice that word to receive wisdom and understanding. So without practicing, even if you pray for 100 days, you can't receive it. So where in the Bible does it say? It's the same when you counsel the members. You just say it. Oh, you have to ask for wisdom. So you have to pray to receive wisdom and understanding. Then you say, oh, God will give you. But even if they pray for 100 days, they don't receive it. And it's just a basic principle. But they can't teach you any details. The reason why? Because they don't know it. If they know all those details, and they will teach them, this understanding is this, wisdom is this, and if you have wisdom and understanding, if you want to study, and if you want to excel in studies, you can do this. If you want to be successful in your business, you can do this and you can do that. This means you gave only like 30% of the answer. So to gain the wisdom, you have to learn the message about wisdom from above. It's first pure, and so on and so forth. And so you have to make the conclusion by saying that. Then you can receive the wisdom. So when I visit any businesses, I always put an emphasis that they must not break peace. If peace is broken, Satan begins to work, and even the possible things will become impossible. They don't work out. So they, in some companies, on the outside, to keep the peace, they don't quarrel and argue on the outside, but they have discomfort. They have conflicts in the heart. They don't like their CEO. They don't like each other. But it means the peace is already broken in their heart. They are not united in heart. One department, I hope they will have understanding. On the outside, they don't have any argument or anything like that. But in their heart, they are not united with their department head. So it means they don't have peace. Having peace is to trust each other, serve each other, and understand each other, to be united with each other. This is peace. If they have conflicts and discomfort, uncomfortable feelings, complaints in their heart, it's not peace. And there is a way for Satan to work. Through this word and prayer, I hope you will be recognized as those who are truly able to teach. Dear devotees, in order to become powerful teachers, secondly, you have to fill your deficiencies of the body.
A deficiency of the body is a deficiency that you might have physically or spiritually because you did not go through what you have to go through while you were growing up. This deficiency can be revealed in various areas. Some people seriously lack willpower or determination to keep their hearts. They might lack spiritual discernment between good and evil. Or they might be emotionally deficient, which is inability to sympathize or empathize with other people's emotions. They can't empathize with other people's emotions. So they just say they are right. For this kind of people, they just think they are right and their knowledge is right. And that is why they are arrogant and they just ignore other people, other people's words. This is also deficiency of the body. They might be emotionally deficient, which is inability to empathize with other people's emotions. Or they lack the willpower to keep their determination. So the parents have to educate their children in a way that they will keep their promises and they'll keep their words. So the parents, if they make any promise with their children, we couldn't dine out, but next Saturday we'll definitely go outside. And the children will say, oh, how can I believe you, Dad? And the father says, I will keep my promise. And on Saturday, there is another very important business meeting. If you don't attend this business meeting, you'll face a great loss. Then what will happen? You break your promise with your children. Oh, please, you know, this time, just this time, okay? Oh, if I don't go out to this meeting, I will have so much loss. And if I go to this meeting, I can get so much benefit, and I'll make it up to you, okay? Just this time. And if I have, even if you can get tens of thousands of dollars by having this business meeting, you breaking a promise with your children is invaluable, but you consider it nothing. That is why it's a problem. You cannot change keeping your promise with your children with tens of thousands of dollars. That is why you let your children develop deficiencies of the body. They learn from you, your example. So they don't keep any promise with you, parents, and they don't keep any promise with other people. They grow up this way, and this way they develop deficiencies of the body. I don't know if you understand. Of course, there are differences from person to person, but when the level of maturity is far below the ordinary level, we can say it is a deficiency of the body. There might be personal differences, but when the level of maturity is far below the ordinary level, we can say it is a deficiency of the body. Teachers should be able to earn the trust of the students and set a good example. Teachers should act in a way that the students would want to proudly introduce their Sunday school teachers, even to the unbelieving worldly people. Most of you church members, they have my photos in cell phones, or they want to show to other people. Then they ask, who is he? Your boyfriend or your friend? And young people, you know what they say? Young people? They just say, oh, slightly, many of them slightly say, he's my love, or something like that. And they tell me, senior pastor, our Lord is our bridegroom and I am the bride. And I say, I have a fiancé because she's not going to marry. And she's, but she doesn't say I am her fiancé, but because she has the Lord. What they mean is, You know, you should, they, the students, they should be proud of their Sunday school teachers. Oh, he's my Sunday school teacher. She's my Sunday school teacher. They should be proud. And they should be able to introduce you proudly. Same with the pastors. Oh, he is my pastor. He's the pastor in Sunday school in our church. They should be able to proudly introduce you to the worldly people. Teachers should understand the students at their level and empathize with their emotions so that the students can really talk to them. When you talk with the parents or teachers in schools, I hope you will check whether you have the dignity and trustworthiness in your words, actions, and appearances. We cannot say all deficiencies of the body are sins, but they cause something that is not gracious in the eyes of other people. In Daniel prayer meetings, even those who are standing on the altar, they were wearing just t-shirts when they were praying, sitting there in the main sanctuary. And I was very nervous about it. And what if people learn from their example? I never said you can just come in t-shirts for the prayers, but your conscience speaks to you. You have to have neat appearances. You know, the newcomers, they come in a very casual outlook, but they soon learn from other people. And what is it like according to the Word of God? Church is the house of God, the house to worship God. And God says, if you are not in the wedding clothes, you'll be thrown out. So if you come to the worship, when you come to worship God, if you come in clothes like training clothes or mountain climbing, or just such a casual clothes, you cannot just do that. So even if I don't tell you to do that, the church members, they don't do that. And those who are standing on the altar, they are wearing t-shirts. They were wearing t-shirts. So I was very nervous about it, in a fear that other young people might learn from them. And especially those who are standing on the altar, they should be more educated. Of course, it's hard work. They have to spend a lot of time and money, and they have to do their hair every day. And I'm very thankful for them, not just with words. So I give them some gifts with my thanks, not just with words. And so even the church members, with their thanks, they provide them with some snacks or things like that. Also, these deficiencies of the body might become a big obstacle in casting away sins. If you have any of these deficiencies, you have to realize them and change them. I hope you will refine your facial expressions, attitudes, and habits in speaking and other little things with the manner that is of the Lord. So all these things are important for the teachers, those who are teaching in any position. They must have proper outlook. And if you don't have any proper outlook, these students, they don't really like to follow the teachers from head to toe. They have to, you cannot just do whatever you want. You know, you have to meet the eyes of the students, what they expect you to be. At first, you have to be what God wants you to be. Then automatically, everything else is sorted out. Of course, it may not be easy to realize these things by yourself and cast them away. You may not know what deficiencies you have, and even if you do, it cannot be filled easily because it has been formed and shaped since your childhood. You might think it is maybe new believers, you might think it is troublesome. But it is everything. All these things are the ways to please God. But as you arm yourself with the word and pray fervently, you will realize what deficiencies you have as though you are looking into a mirror. Then you can also receive wisdom from above as to how you can fill up those deficiencies. Some of you might feel difficult to teach the students, for you didn't get much education yourself. You might feel difficulty in trying to learn something new. With your own wisdom and power, it might be difficult. But you can also fill it with the power of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. I urge you to receive God's power in all aspects by trying your best to acquire physical knowledge as well as it is necessary as Sunday school teachers. Dear devotees, in order to become powerful Sunday school teachers, thirdly, you must have perfect love. To the extent that you arm yourself with the word spiritually and fill up your deficiencies, you will cultivate the heart of spirit in you. And to the extent that you cultivate the heart of spirit, your heart will be filled with a spiritual love. With that love, you can fulfill your duty powerfully. Those who have fleshly love do not understand the standpoints of others. They just try to give what they think is good. Also, they expect a certain reaction from others, for they have given them something good, and they try to change others in a hurry. But if others do not change as they expected, they get discouraged and give up on them after trying for some time. If the adults treat the children with this kind of self-centeredness, the children will feel hurt even more and close their hearts more firmly. Why do the students have complaints against their parents so much? Why are they full of complaints? When I was giving the lecture on the keys to studying well, they were saying, Amen. They were agreeing with me that it is right. They have a lot of complaints when I made some points about their parents. And they have these complaints in their minds and they can't just let it out. And they just live with such complaints. And if those complaints are accumulated, and one day it'll blast like a volcano eruption. And what happens? They just run away from home. And it can take place in many other ways. Or they just stop studying. Or they just rebel against their parents on purpose. If you love them spiritually, you will not be discouraged or disheartened just because others do not change as you want. Even though they act with evil, you do not judge or condemn their behaviors. You try to understand their hearts and why they're acting that way, then you can try to fulfill their needs. Even though it seems so difficult for them to change from how you ordinarily view them, you look at them with the eyes of faith and keep on helping them until they change. Recently, many people have changed through the mini crusades on Sunday evenings, and I hear testimonies especially from students. Many of them seemed to have no chance for change, and they seemed hopeless. Even some of those students themselves thought they were helpless and that God must have forsaken them, because even their parents and teachers had given up on them. But as they attended the mini crusades, their hearts began to change. They felt my genuine interest in them, that I really wanted to fill their spiritual and physical necessities and to guide them to good heavenly places, and they opened their hearts. Because they felt my love and desire to save them from hell, even by risking my own life, the word of God began to go into their hearts. Some students, they were rebellious and they were going astray, but I was praying about that student and God let me know about the money situation. Because she was living in such a difficult situation, her complaints accumulated more and more. So she even wanted to steal. She wanted to, you know, she had all kinds of emotions, and that is why she was going astray. And if she can be provided with her necessities, she can change into a good daughter. And I thought to myself, and with that, because of the little bit of this pocket money they get in the mini crusades, they are changing. And I'm watching several students, and they were coming to me, telling me, "Senior Pastor, this week I met with the friends, I treated them to pizza and things like that." Because she could never treat them to anything. But she was always just, how much was the pizza? It was 30,000 won. And she saved that money and she treated them, her friends, and she was so happy about it. And some others, another one, she wanted to buy this book and she bought it. And with that pocket money, they were bragging about what they were doing with that pocket money. What is the reason? Because they trust me, they love me, and they respect me. That is why they can tell me those things. This is the close relationship. They couldn't tell these things to their parents, but they received this pocket money from me. It means they became so close to me, and they love me. And they understand my love towards them, so they can talk to me. And not just a couple of students tell me these things. So they open their hearts, and the Word of God goes into them. Even though they still have some desires for the world, and they lack the power to change themselves, they are strengthened again because of that love engraved on their hearts. Thinking of that love, their hearts melt down and they try their best to change themselves. But fleshly love counts for nothing, no matter how much you give them. It has to be spiritual love that can plant faith and life in them. So I give them hope of heaven, God's word, and so many, many things, and also the pocket money. Even though you financially help them and pay attention to their stories, you cannot change them with fleshly love. If you give them fleshly love, you may have some fruit for a moment, but after some time, you'll find it's without any fruit. Fleshly love will only plant flesh-disoriented feelings and emotions in the students. Pastors and teachers must plant life and spirit in them, and planting flesh in them is not acceptable. Therefore, I hope your Sunday school teachers will cultivate perfect spiritual love in your heart. I urge you to change the souls and plant faith in them with that love. Let me conclude the message. Dear devotees and other members, we should receive the power of God that makes everything possible with faith. You should not just think like the senior pastor has the power of God, and that is why those children changed. You should be spiritually challenged, thinking, "I will be united with the shepherd in one heart and receive the power to save the souls." It is not just for the teachers, but also for the pastors. You must have been thinking about what you have to do and what you can do for the students. You must have thought of various methods and actually applied some of them. But what you actually need is power. Also, wisdom and understanding from above. I hope you will arm yourself with the word physically and spiritually, fill up your deficiencies of the body, and cultivate perfect love. By doing so, you have to become spiritual warriors who can perform with the power of God. Keep this message in mind and cultivate the requisites and qualifications of true teachers. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that the young souls in your charge will be filled with life just like each bud of the opened wide by the sunshine of spring. The students, they must grow up like the buds in spring. It was cold in winter, and they were wishing for the spirit to come. And just like flowers that bloom in the spring, nowadays the students are just like the flowers. The parents encourage them, and the church members, they should encourage them. You know, in this sin-filled world, disorderly world, we have these students, pure students. They are treasures. They are such good students. And they must be so lovely in the sight of God. Let us pray. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become life and faith. let the devotees, pastors, and teachers give them wisdom and understanding from above, so they will teach their students very well. Let the students obey them, and let them study well, and let them be recognized by their parents, by the people around them, and by God. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Heavenly Father, show your works transcending space and time. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues burned with the fire of the Holy Spirit be cleansed. Pastor Jung Hee Joseph Han of India, he will visit the state of Karnataka and Vellore from June 13th to 15th. Be with him. William, the swelling and pain in the leg go away because of a traffic accident. Go away. Pastor Kang Sub-chang of Japan, he will deliver the message for Asahigawa Mamin Church, the 12th anniversary. Be with him. Brother Cliff Fatsi of the United States, the third stage uterine cancer be healed. Jang Mari Undati of DR Congo, the shedding of tears and right eyesight be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Park Tae-sun of the United States, let him be able to start a new business. Yen Su-ryang will let the drive away, the power of darkness go away. Yu Yinan, let her get a good result in college entrance exam. Lee Su-ha, let her daughter Chen Yi-han's wedding go well. Father, give them spiritual and physical health. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and let the eyes see well. Father, make them perfect and all the internal organs, make them healthy. Let the skin be healthy. Diabetes, high blood pressure, low blood pressure go away. All loosen all the paralysis. Give them spiritual and physical health and give them peace throughout this week. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.